Hare Krishna. Welcome all of you to Srimad Bhagavatam. We are studying from Canto 5, Chapter 13, titled as Rahugana Converses with Jadabharata. We are doing verse number 16.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Tato jayamudhiraye Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatir uttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtike.
So verse number 16. Prasajjati kvapi lata bhujashrayas.
Tadashraya vyakta padatvijasprahah. Kvachit kadachit dhari chakratastrasan. Sakhyam vidhatte bhagatanka dridraihi. Prasajjati kvapi lata bhujashraya. Tadashraya vyakta padadvijasprahah. Kvachit kadachit dhari chakratastashan. Sakhyam vidhatte bhagatanka dridraihi. Prasajjati kvapi lata bhujashraya. Tadashraya vyakta padatvijasprahah. Kvachit kadachit dhari chakratastrasan. Sakhyam vidhatte bhagakamka gridraihi.
What word? Prasajjati becomes more and more attached. Kvapi, sometimes. Lata bhuja ashrayah. Who takes shelter of the soft arms of his beautiful wife, which are like creepers. Tadashraya. Who are sheltered by such creepers. Avyaktapada. Who sing unclear songs. Dvijasprahah. Desiring to hear birds. Kvachit. Sometimes. Kadachit. Somewhere. Hari Chakratahastrasan. Being afraid of the roaring sound of a lion. Sakhyam, friendship. Vidatte, makes. Baka Kanka Gridhaihi. With cranes, herons, and vultures. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sometimes the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers. Being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons and vultures. Purport. In the forest of the material world, there are many animals and birds, trees and creepers. Sometimes the living entity wants to take shelter of the creepers. In other words, he wants to be happy by being embraced by the creeper-like arms of his wife. Within the creepers, there are many chirping birds. This indicates that he wants to satisfy himself by hearing the sweet voice of his wife. In old age, however, he sometimes becomes afraid at imminent death, which is compared to a roaring lion. To save himself from the lion's attack, he takes shelter of some bogus swamis, yogis and incarnations, pretenders and cheaters. Being misled by the illusory energy in this way, he spoils his life. It is said, Harim vina mritim nadataranti. No one can be saved from the imminent danger of death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. The word Hari indicates the lion as well as the Supreme Lord. To be saved from the hands of Hari, the lion of death, one must take shelter of the Supreme Hari. So I'll read that line again. To be saved from the hands of Hari, the lion of death, one must take shelter of the Supreme Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People with the poor fund of knowledge take shelter of non-devotee cheaters and pretenders in order to be saved from the clutches of death. In the forest of the material world, the living entity first of all wants to be very happy by taking shelter of the creeper-like arms of his wife and hearing her sweet voice. Later, he sometimes takes shelter of the so-called gurus and sadhus who are like cranes, herons and vultures. Thus, he is cheated both ways by not taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yontah pravishya mama vacham imam prasuktam sanjeva yatyakhila shakti dharasvadhamna anyamscha hasta charana shravanatvagadin pranan namo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. So Hare Krishna. So we are reading this chapter, which is Rahugana converses with Jadabharata. We've seen that in the last chapter also, in the 12th chapter, Adi Jadabharata actually instructed King Rahugana, and then he's continuing to instruct. Chapter 12 ended by he saying that since this universe, that's the last verse of 12, let me read the last verse of 12. Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge, one can cut to pieces the illusory associations with this material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting Shravanam Kirtanam. Thus, one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness by sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Return home back to Godhead, even in this life. So, Jadabharata had instructed Rahugana that with the sword of knowledge, one can cut to pieces the illusory associations with this material world. So he had said, to get rid of the associations of this material world, one has to cut the illusionary illusion with the help of sword of knowledge. Now, how one has to do that, he is explaining in this chapter. Chapter 13, that is what we are studying now. Now, it's interesting that there is a spiritual master and a disciple conversation going on. And what is the name of the spiritual master here? It is Jadabharata. It's interesting. It's a very derogatory name to a spiritual master, isn't it? He's Jadabharata. Jada means what? He's dull. But yet he's taking the role of a spiritual master here. Yeah. So sometimes what is apparent may not be factual. So Jada, he's actually dull. He's dull to the inert matter. He's dull to the external senses. He's dull to the external paraphernalia. He's dull to the external stimulations. But he's dynamic inside. So he's Jada from the external perspective, but very dynamic personality inside. Yet Bhagavatam addresses him as Jadabharata. That is why you have to remember that Bhagavatam sometimes is a darshana bhasha. It uses a very strange language. Many times it calls Vidura as Kshatta. Kshatta means the son of a maid servant. Although he being the son of Vyasadeva, Bhagavatam addresses him as Kshattar, as son of a maid servant. So this is sometimes very intriguing aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam that we come across. And what's interesting is, Jadabharata is speaking so much to King Rahugana without him inquiring anything now. Now in my Bhakti Vaibhav study, I'm studying the third canto where Vidura is addressing Maitreya. He says in the third canto of the seventh chapter, Anubratanam Shishyanam Putranam Chat Dijottama Anapristam Api Bruyur Guravo Dina Vatsalaha. Prabhupada writes a translation, O best among the Brahmanas, those who are spiritual masters are very kind and to the needy. They are always kind to their followers, disciples and sons. Shishyanam Putranam Cha Vijottama. And without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. So, we can see exactly what's happening here. Rahugana has inquired initially, but now Jadabharata is explaining even more detailedly, assuming the questions that Vidura might have in his mind. And similarly, Vidura was asking Maitreya also to say, I've asked you so many questions, but you can tell me more of those which I have not even inquired from you. So this is the mercy of a spiritual master that we see. And in this purport, Prabhupada is speaking about, in the whole chapter, in fact, Prabhupada writes in the beginning of the chapter, the introduction to this chapter, that this chapter is a figurative speech. So Jadabharata is speaking in a figurative language. So he's talking of a forest, and he talks about six dacoits that attack you in this forest, the creepers, the forest, and the trees and things like that, the birds, a lot of figurative language that is being used. It is used to address this material world, in fact. So there are two ways to understand this. We also saw the same story being said about Puranjana a few cantos before. Time and again, Bhagavatam and the Shastras and the spiritual masters use figurative language to explain certain aspects of theology and philosophy to his disciples. There can be two understandings of this. Sometimes the disciple is not ready to take direct instructions. So the spiritual master goes about in a round way of explaining to him. Because sometimes if the spiritual master addresses a disciple, "You rascal, you wake up from your sleep and get detached from your attachments," the disciple may not be ready for it. Because many a times in spiritual life we tend to bring our behaviors that we have in our material existence. So generally if one is a worker or one is an officer or a manager, he tends to put on his cap as a manager even in his spiritual life. So these behaviors haunt us. So here we know he's a king. So king has a lot of attachments. King has a lot of, his lifestyle is different. So for Jadabharata to give him jnana, because he said by the sword of knowledge one has to cut through the illusion of attachment, the prerequisite of jnana is vairagya. Without vairagya, one cannot attain jnana very easily. Detachment. Detachment is very important and very critical for someone who has to come to the path of jnana, or for someone to accept spiritual teachings. A little bit of detachment is required. In fact, in the 13th or the 14th verse, Prabhupada writes, jnana and vairagya, there are two paths. But bhakti yoga does not need that much of detachment in one sense, although it is required in the initial phases where we do about four regulative principles. That is what our attachment is concerned. Other than that, we don't go too much into detachment. But here, if you see, predominantly jnana yoga is being taught to Raghuvan. The major mode of teaching is in the terms of jnana yoga. So therefore, for jnana to come, a mandatory prerequisite is one has to come to the position of vairagya or detachment. Without detachment, you cannot assimilate jnana. That is a prerequisite for jnana yoga margis. That is why you would see there was a discussion between Adi Shankaracharya and one of the other competitor. And this competitor was a karma yogi and Adi Shankara was a jnana yogi. So he defeats Adi Shankaracharya defeats the karma yogi. And then as soon as he gets defeated, Adi Shankara makes him a sannyasi. The next thing is you'll be given a sannyasi now. You'll become a sannyasi. So orange robes and he'll become an ekadandi sannyasi. The reason is, if you have to initiate and give you knowledge, you have to become a detached person first. So sannyasi is a prerequisite to gain jnana. That's why you see the Govardhan Math and all the four Shankaracharyas that we have in India, they're all sannyasis only. But if you see in ISKCON, in Bhakti Marg, many of our spiritual masters are grihasthas. They don't have to be sannyasis. In fact, grihasthas, even in the Panchatattva, if you see, Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhara, Shivasadi, Gaurapakarana. So who are sannyasis here? Mahaprabhu and?
Nityananda.
Gadadhara. Nityananda was not sannyasi. So Gadadhara, they both were sannyasis. They were the three. Jiva Goswami and who else? Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya. They were all grihasthas. So grihasthas take a better position because they can preach better to the society because majority of the society is grihasthas. Why? They won't associate with the opposite sex. So therefore, in one sense, grihasthas take the upper hand, especially in path of bhakti yoga. Absolute detachment is not required. Vairagya is not required because Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Sayat Ahaitukam. So one who does Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha, to whom Vasudeve Bhagavati Janayati, what will give rise to what? Janayati Ashu Vairagyam. Ashu means very quickly Vairagyam and Jnanam Sayat Ahaitukam. Causeless jnana and vairagya will be attained by such a person who does bhakti yoga to Vasudeva. So, we will see in this chapter that there is a strong preaching going on about getting detached from especially the creeper-like arms of the wife. A man who is attached to his wife feels the comfort in the arms of his wife sometimes. And very interestingly, if you see this verse, he takes the shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of birds in those creepers. So what are those birds? What are those birds? Especially if you go near a creeper, it's a dense creeper, you will see if there are some tiny birds and you will try to hear if they are chirping. But what is it in real terms? What is the factual message that Jadabharata wants to convey? Exactly, the sweet voice of the wife. And if you read Civilization and Transcendence, is another book where Prabhupada says, when we have our Grihastha ashram, when we have wife and children, when we hear the avyakta, the word used here, sorry, it's the word used here is avyakta pada, who sing unclear songs. No? When the child says, Mamma, Papa, you'll feel very nice. Oh, such sweet sounds from my son and children are emanating. No? It's actually another form of attachment, that I'm getting attached to the sweet voice of the children. Actually, Prabhupada writes this in Civilization and Transcendence, that he gets carried away by the sweet sounds that emanate from the wife. And when the wife, when you come tired from the office, when the wife says, oh my dear, you had a very tiring day, and then you feel very comforted because your wife is taking so nice care of you. And then when the children come and hugs you, you will feel like you are the emperor of the world. This is called illusion. Because as long as the husband is going to work, griha sutapta vittaya. Vittaya means as long as his credit card is still having balance, tapta kesa milega. Till then you will get all of this. When the balance is low, then what will happen? You useless fool, get out and work. Why are you sitting at home? No breakfast for you. So the scene will change immediately. So this is the reality of material existence. And Jadabharata is trying to unveil this to King Rahugana. You are strong, you are king now. You are feeling that you are the emperor. But all this will be taken away by whom? Harim. Hari chakraha, chakrataha, what is the word, sorry? Hari chakratastrasan. Like when the death comes close by, then everything will be shaken. Our faith in this family and children will be shaken. Now it's very interesting, I'm reading a book called The Man, the Unknown. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's written by a very famous surgeon, a biologist. He's a French surgeon. He was a French surgeon. It's interesting, he was probably between 18th and 1944. He passed away in 1944. It's a very old book. His name is Alexis Carrel. And he's a Nobel laureate in physiology, in the field of medicine. And in this book he writes that the medical field, in terms of is trying to understand human science in terms of biology, physiology, chemistry, metaphysics, psychiatry, radiology, and there are so many departments. If you go to a department, you know, the more the doctors have specialized, the more they have discovered they do not know about the human body. Right? Why? Because if you go to a neurosurgeon, he will treat only your brain. He doesn't care what happens to the other parts of the body. So he'll give you a medicine which can make you sleep or which can fail another part of the organ. For example, kidneys. The kidneys might go. It doesn't matter. I'm interested only in the brain because his field of study is neurons or the brain. If someone goes to a nephrologist who treats the kidneys, so he will give you some medicines which can damage your brain or something like that. But he doesn't know at this point in time, he's only focused on his kidneys. So Alexis Carrel says, with the advancement of science and so much minuscule, you're going deeper into every atom or organ of your body, you're losing the whole big picture. So our intense association or analysis of this human body has left us to a place where we do not know anything about the life within the human body. So Alexis Carrel says, and he's titled his book, Man the Unknown. So much so that if you see the society around us, all this rampant modernization to give comfort to this body. Everything that is geared towards the economy is to give comfort to this human body. Starting from the makeup to make you look young, to the plastic surgery and Botox injections, whatever. They want to overcome the old age and disease and even birth and misery that we have in this material existence. But all of these advancements in so-called technology and engineering is actually making us more miserable. I always say this. I've studied mechanical engineering, so I've studied manufacturing and things like that. So the advent of factories were invented so that we can get more time. Yes, you can mass produce things, machines can do your job, so you get all the time that you want in this life to enjoy the breeze and smell the roses, watch the sun and the moon, take a stroll in the park. We've got at the press of a button machines that wash your dishes, that wash your clothes. We don't have to carry the clothes all the way to the river and get it washed. And yet, we do not have time to sit and eat our food. So see, this is the irony of material existence today. And that's what this person writes in his book, actually. What's interesting in his book, what I found interesting is, which is very relevant to the section of Bhagavatam, he writes, I just want to repeat his words, those who investigate the phenomena of life are as if it is an inextricable jungle in the midst of a magic forest whose countless trees unceasingly change their place and their shape. They are crushed under a mass of faults which they can describe, but they are incapable of defining in algebraic equations. So there are so many things that they discover, but they cannot define and they cannot understand it. For example, pain and pleasure. They cannot put an equation or an equipment to measure your pain and pleasure. They can say, yeah, the pain is there, but what is the amount of pain? They will say less, more, or significant. That's all. They can't measure your pain. They can't calculate your pain. So therefore, he is also bringing in the analogy of a forest, how these scientists and so-called doctors are getting lost in the forest. And there is no cure whatsoever. And one more important, interesting thing that is coming on here is, and which is time and again used in the scriptures, is the example of a creeper. Right? So at the moment, Jadabharata is saying, we are dependent on the creeper-like arms of the wife. But what is interesting is, what is that factor that is coming out here is, that jiva's indomitable or eventual property called as dependence. Right? We are all dependent on something in this material world. The living entity is dependent on the wife or the children for his comfort or for his happiness. Like that, dependence is an irreplaceable fact for a jiva. He has to depend on something. Either he has to depend on his intelligence or on his capacity or on his capability or on his empire. What is that? His griha sutta, griha kshetra sutapta vidya. So what's interesting is because the jiva's irreplaceable fact is dependence. Dependence is an irreplaceable fact. But what is interesting is, on what is he depending? What is that dependable object? That is the question. Generally, the living entity depends on all of this. But really, what one has to depend? Prabhupada writes, Harim vina mritim na narana karanti. So one has to depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Rishabhdev's teachings, he also says, we've actually read in the 5th chapter, Pumsas Triya Maituni Bhavametam Tayor Mitho Hridaya Garanti Mahuhu Atho Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vittaya Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. So what do we depend on? What does the jiva depend on? Griha Kshetra Suta Apta Vittaya. See the empire? Griha is your home. Kshetra is the place where I live. I'm Australian, I'm Indian. Suta, griha, kshetra, suta is children, apta is relatives and friends, vittahi my wealth. So this is all my boundaries and I depend on all of this. And then I get attached to this. Janasya lokoyam aham amet, it's me and mine. So this is the illusion. And what's interesting is, I was thinking, why does the scriptures give the example of a creeper all the time? On one end, here we are talking of the creeper of the arms of our wives. And the other end, we also have the Bhakti Lata beach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gives the example of Bhakti as a creeper. And what's interesting is, we all know the creepers, right? The creepers have two things in them. One is the stem and one is called as the tendrils. You know the tendrils? The tendrils is almost like a spring. Yeah. And what's interesting is scientists even today do not know how a creeper grows and how a creeper starts going up. You know, it's a weak plant. It doesn't have a strong stem, but it still tries to grow and it can grow to whatever height it can. And it says, scientists have discovered recently that the plant grows not because of its stem, but because of the tendril. You know, the tendrils that actually, they actually swing in the air. They have a slow motion camera and they've observed it. It actually rotates in the air and catches hold of something like that, and then it pulls the plant up. You've seen the tendrils are like a spring, right? It stretches, catches hold of something, and pulls the plant up. It's quite interesting. So then it makes sense of why the scriptures use creepers as an example. There are two things. If a creeper is hung on to the wrong object, then that object can go take you down. Right? In terms of, if I'm attached to my wife, my wealth, my capacities, my intelligence, it has the capacity to take me down. But Krishna, if I'm attached to Krishna and his devotees, it has the capacity to take me up. It is said that Krishna has two energies. One is energy which pulls you down, which is called as gravity. There adha, we have come to this adha, or adha means to fall down. We have fallen down. And to wake us up, we have to catch hold of Krishna. Karshayati Krishna. Karshan means Krishna is all attractive. So when you hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, he can pull us out of this material existence. So therefore, the Shastras give the example of creepers. And how does this creeper grow in the first place? What is important for a creeper? How does a creeper come into the being of the first in the first place? Seed. Who said seed? Yeah, it is beach, right? Again, the analogy of a seed. Why is seed being mentioned here, right? It's very interesting analogies that Shastras bring us, because a seed is very amazing object, right? You see a seed, we all do moong dal at home, green moong. Yeah, if you want to have moong sprouts, you put some water in it, immediately there is life inside the seed. Till then it is just a jada, it is just a dull matter. The moment you touch water to it, it sprouts. So water brings jiva into the seed. Seed is always a dead thing, but when it touches water, there is jiva that gets impregnated into the seed, and then the seed sprouts. So similarly, for the bhakti creeper to grow, there has to be a seed. And who sows the seed? So spiritual master, Guru Krishna Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Bhakti Lata Beej is because of Guru Krishna Prasada. So Guru gives us the Krishna Prasada. So the analogy of the forest, the analogy of the creeper, the analogy of bhakti is very intertwined if you really see. Even Prabhupada, he made it mandatory for us to sing Guru Ashtakam in the morning. The forest fire of material existence can be doused at once by whom? By Guru. How so? Yasyat prasada, Bhagavat prasada. So he can give us the Bhagavat prasada. Who? The spiritual master. But the catch again is, in this material world, just as when you go to the shopping mall and when you want to buy something, you end up buying everything except what you wanted to buy, because the shopping mall presents you with so many offers. Sale is going on all the time. So this is actually a mimicry of the material world, because even in the material world, so much sale is going on all the time. All the time. So, if you see, if you drive down the road, you'll see advertisements all over. You know, and then when your eyes barge onto one advertisement, you will feel a necessity gets created in the mind. I think I should need this. I think it will be helpful to me. And then we go and buy that, and we get entrapped in so many things that we hold. So in the same way, material world also throws a lot of shopping lists like that. And one of the big on the shopping list is spiritual masters. Gurus, or so-called swindlers. These are not saints, but these are swindlers. So when the jiva gets bogged down because of his attachment to his wife, wealth, etc., at the end stage of his life, he realizes, oh my God, I'm getting old now. I'm going to finish. My life is finished. Let me hold on to someone who can give me some hope that no, nothing is over yet. Your second part of the story will start. Don't worry, you know. He wants to hear that. So he goes in search of a spiritual master, and the material world presents him. Oh yeah, please come in here. And we see, if you actually go to YouTube, you know, or Google, So it's interesting how the internet is, you know how the internet works? Internet works based on the minds of the people. That's how they work. Because the more you search something, that is what goes in the top of it. If you all, I don't know how many of you are programmers here, if you program, how the algorithm works is whatever people search the most becomes the top in the search list. That's what comes up in the search list. Right? So, what is searched more in the in Google these days? What is the most important and interesting topic that is searched?
COVID.
Sorry?
COVID.
Yes, COVID. And what is the symptom of that? What is it indicating? Fear. Fear in people. And that's why they want to know about COVID. Yeah? And that's what Google tells you. Ye thamam prapadyante. Google is saying. Whatever you search for me, I'll show you that. So, in the same way, when you go to internet to search for gurus, the first thing you will see is bogus gurus only. Why? Because they'll tell you, you are God, but you don't know you are God. I'll tell you are God. And then they'll tell you, you don't have to go to any guru. By saying that, they are becoming your gurus. They say, don't go to any guru. Don't read any scriptures. You don't have to read any Bhagavad Gita, etc., etc. Don't have to read. You have to just experience. Come to my organization. $100 only. So like that. And there are people who will mislead us. There's a person who claims that he was late, he couldn't wake up early, so he asked the sun to stop, not to rise. So after he woke up, the sun came out. And interestingly, he has 100,000 hits on his page. So you can see, either people are wasting their time, or he has real followers, or people are trying to find some juice. So ideally what happens? The jiva in pursuit of some relief from the material pangs is trying to find a guru so that he can hear what he wants to hear, not what is real, not what is factual. That is why sometimes when we go and search for a spiritual master, we find a spiritual master which is convenient to me. You know, have you seen that? Have you had, I don't know, have you experienced that? Convenient, not real factual sometimes. That's what happens in the material world. People go and hear from these swindlers and they will give them what they want to hear and they get cheated. Prabhupada writes this. They get cheated big time. This is the plight of the jiva. And therefore Prabhupada concludes that he is cheated in both ways by not taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Either getting attached to the family or later getting shelter of such gurus and sadhus who are like cranes, herons and vultures. They will be bereft of their fortune of surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is why if you see one interesting trait of Bhakti Yoga or the Bhakti Marg is they are always looking up towards the Lord to say, you are my savior, or looking up towards the spiritual master to say, you are my savior. I am always an insignificant servant. What's interesting is, I was reading the book The Journey Home, and in that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had a very important question that he had heard everywhere that that you are God and everybody is God. So he was sitting in the assembly and he had this question, but he did not have the courage to put forth that question, to ask Prabhupada, are you God? So somebody asks this question. Are you the Jagat Guru of the entire world? Are you the spiritual master of the entire world? This was a question asked. This was in Vrindavan. The Prabhupada had visited Vrindavan first time with his disciples. And what was amazing that Maharaj explains is, reaction of Prabhupada was, he puts his head down and with very soft voice he says, I am just the servant of my spiritual master. I am not anyone in this world. I am just a servant of the spiritual. And that line that Prabhupada said struck the heart of his Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj. And he says, here is a person who can conquer the whole world with his erudite scholarship, and yet he can demonstrate to the whole world that humility is the real jewel that the Bhakti Yogi carries. This is a unique combination of humility and prowess that Prabhupada had. This is the trait of a devotee, that when given a chance, they can conquer the whole world with their scholarship or with their devotion, but at the same time, they are humble when it comes to their humility towards the Lord and the devotees. So this is a trait of a devotee or a spiritual master. But here we see the swindlers are like cranes, herons and vultures. They will actually, they will kind of you know, what is a heron or a twig? They will kind of bite you. They'll try to take up your wealth and try to mislead you. Vultures will try to mislead you. And this is how we get lost. So, Prabhupada takes the opportunity in the purport also to say that Harim Vina Mritim Na Taranti. So this verse, Prabhupada takes it from Bhavartha Deepika, from Sridhar Goswami's work, which says, without Krishna, there is no other shelter except Krishna for us. So we have to take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna also says this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Tesham Aham Samuddharta Mrityu Samsara Sagarat Bhavami Nachirat Partha Maya Veshita Chetasam. That I am the swift deliverer for everyone in this material world. Tesham Aham Samuddharta. This ocean of material existence, I am the one who can deliver you. Mrityu Samsara Sagara. Mrityu, this place is called as Mrityu Sagara. Mrityu Sagara is a place of death. We have to go through this bad experience of death, which we don't want to go through, actually. But the only solution is taking to the feet of lotus feet of Lord Hari, Lord Krishna. And through the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada and all our acharyas in the movement. So with this I summarize. So this chapter is talking about, Jadabharata is preaching to Raghugana about the significance of understanding the illusion or illusory existence of this material world. And detachment is a very interesting and an important factor. But for a bhakti yogi, we don't have to follow strict detachment, but we have regulated detachment. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta karmasa chetaso. We have to have yukta. Yukta means what? Controlled detachment and attachment. We should not get attached to something too much. We should not get detached with something too much. Because then we get attached to the thought of detachment. That I am very detached. So it's very So bhakti is a very interesting path. So that is the beauty of bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada takes the opportunity to explain the significance of taking to the lotus feet of Hari. So that our bhakti lata beach, the creeper of devotional service, gets attached to the lotus feet of Sri Hari. And if you see the picture that we see on about Brahma Samhita, the creeper that grows and goes and touches the lotus feet of Krishna and Radha, and Krishna is the holy name of the Lord. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, we nourish this bhakti creeper. By Shravanam and Kirtanam, we nourish this bhakti creeper and we water this bhakti creeper. And we keep other weeds from growing by using the blade of detachment, which is the four regulative principles. So with this, I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments or realizations, if someone wants to share. Yes, ma'am.
In the Bhakti Lata Kripa, so the Kripa is the main crop in next time. And then there's other Upashakras which are the Anarthas. Whether as Bhakti grows, these Anarthas choke the plant or they also there and plant also grows? So whether the main plant continues to grow?
Yeah. It depends on, now let's take the analogy of a real plant. If a farmer is putting a real plant, When do we have weeds and how do we control the weeds? We should ask the farmer actually. The real plant will always continue to grow as long as we have fertilized it and we put water. But all we have to make sure is when I am watering the plant and when I am fertilizing it, the soil has some inherent seeds in it. Yeah. There will be seeds, always some hidden seeds, the weeds. And then suddenly you will see a sprout of a weed coming out. But when the water and fertilizer is being watered to the bhakti creeper, we are actually watering the weed as well. So the weed also is growing. So what does a farmer do? He uproots the weeds and throws it out. So that the nutrition that I am putting for the soil is completely given only to the plant that I am interested in, not to the weed. So in the same way, when I am watering my bhakti lata beach, the creepers, the weeds, there, and sometimes very interestingly, what's very interesting in nature is, you will see the weeds also look very similar to the same plant. Is it not? Have you seen? If you put a creeper, there will be another creeper weed, which will be growing. That will also be a creeper, but that will be a weed. It will look very similar to this plant, but it will be a false plant. So, a very an interesting farmer or a good farmer will be able to identify that this is a weed and I have to take it out. So in the same way, Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually there is a verse which says, I don't remember the verse, there is a verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that our behaviors, when we are practicing bhakti, our vasanas and our behaviors come out because of our anarthas. And our anarthas, the prime, supreme, primeost weed that happens when we have our bhakti lata weed is offenses to devotees, offenses that we commit. And that's the biggest weed we have. And once that we allow that weed to grow, it will curtail the nutrition that is going to bhakti, that creeper. And it will stagnate its growth. And then this weed will grow eventually. And what will happen? My anarthas will it will give me a conviction that actually I'm a very good devotee. This is called Shuddha Bhakta syndrome. So I'll feel very, I'm a Shuddha Bhakta. But actually I'm going on offending devotees. So my devotion life gets curtailed and stagnated. That's why it's one of the first offenses. So therefore we have to distinguish. We have to make sure that I'm not watering that. I'm not fertilizing that particular weed. And I identify the weed and I pluck it out. And how do I identify it? As we always discuss, one who is already bound by or conditioned by the three modes of material nature, he can't free himself. It takes someone who is free to come and free us. Right? And that's the role of a spiritual master or a senior Vaishnava who can tell that, no Prabhuji, you are offending, your weed is being, you are growing a lot of weeds in your garden, you need to pluck them. It's time to de-weed your garden. So, put on your gardening gloves. So, someone has to come and wake us up. Does that answer, make sense, Madhuri?
Yes, but when also anarthas, like, when I have 6 enemies, we can't really approve that.
Yes, it does. Because anarthas, although anartha nivritti, the stage of anartha nivritti happens in the stages of bhakti, but anarthas can stay with us even till the stage of bhava. Remnants of anarthas can stay. So it's a very difficult thing to get rid of. But one technique Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us is, rather than getting rid of anarthas, initially we are advised to dovetail the anarthas into bhakti. So if you have greed, become greedy for Krishna. So something like that. Transform your lust into love for Krishna and things like that. So if we gradually transform the anarthas, then we don't have to work on nivritti specifically. We just have to work on the positive aspects of it. The negative negation automatically happens. Janayat dasha vairagyam ahaitukam. It will happen automatically. That's the beauty of bhakti yoga. You don't have to focus on the anartha so much. Savya.
Thank you for the class, Prabhuji. My question is that you were saying that from knowledge comes detachment. So then we see Brahma, who knows all the Vedas, he was still ignorant and still attached to pride. So
Who was attached to pride? Brahma.
Brahmaji was attached to pride. When was that? Oh, when he stole the cows and calves?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes, when your mother wants to teach Surabhi a lesson, she will teach you. Is it not? Sometimes she will scold you. Savya, go and say, do my homework. Surabhi gets quickly very good and she'll start writing up. Correct? Have you seen that sometimes? So the Lord, sometimes when he has to teach us lessons, he will teach us to his devotees, through his devotees. So Lord Brahma was put into an illusion to think he is proud. He's not proud. He's a great devotee of the Lord. But for us to understand that even a devotee can become proud, so the Lord teaches Brahmaji so that we can learn a lesson. But Brahmaji inherently is not proud. Does it make sense? That is why he did not preach to Brahma. When this incident happened, when Indra, you know, when Indra poured rain in Vrindavan, he was preached by Krishna for a long time. But for Brahmaji, he did not teach anything to Brahma. Brahmaji was just, he invited a lot of Brahmajis and he saw. And then Brahmaji understood because he's intelligent. He said, okay, I got the lesson. Sorry. That's it. Krishna did not speak. He did not teach him. But so therefore, Krishna used Brahmaji to teach us a lesson. So he put Brahmaji in an illusion. Then Brahmaji got disillusioned and then he stole the calves. But for us to learn a lesson is, even Brahma, even if we raise to the position of a Brahma, we can get bewildered by Krishna's activities. So it's difficult to understand Krishna. That was the lesson. So yes, pride can come pride can come to any devotee, so we have to be careful of that. That's the lesson to be learned. Does it make sense? Yes. He was intelligent, therefore he understood it very quickly. Apichet Sudhuracharo. Krishna says, an intelligent devotee sometimes may fall down because we are tatastha shaktis, we are marginal potent. We may fall down sometimes, but falling down is not that big a deal as long as we get up quickly and learn from that lesson so that we don't fall down again. That's the lesson to be learned. Does it make sense? Thank you.
Yes, so you said that without getting your anarthas also for Lord, say for example greed also for the Lord, now I'm thinking that's okay, I've got now greed and then I'm without getting for the Lord, but when I'm listening and I'm doing introspection, in fact I'm cheating Lord. So like that, masquerading, you know, in a dash fashion that, I'm doing for Lord. In fact I'm now imposter, like I'm just cheating, you know, I'm just still my material nothing under the garb of that is future. So how to deal with that?
We have another problem. Sorry.
What was the question again?
The question is, if I understood it right, he said, I said you can dovetail your anarthas in the service of the Lord, but sometimes I might be cheating myself thinking that I'm dovetailing. Like for example, going and buying the lottery thinking I'll donate all the money to the temple. But then once you win the lottery, you think, let me keep the 50% of it so that I can use it in my service. So sometimes I might be cheating myself while dovetailing the anarthas or by using greed in Krishna's service. So how do I go about it is the question, I think, isn't it?
Be honest. I can't remember the Sarva Kama, but I think it doesn't matter. You will eventually be purified in due course if you find the bhakti process. Even if you have faulty, even if there's a faulty mentality in due course of time, if a person is sincere enough, then that will be revealed to them sooner rather than later. And if you're a fool, well, maybe later. Even sometimes these things are revealed to us, but we don't know how fast them. So what to do? Be sincere.
But now, Prabhu, it happens that, okay, you have taken meditation well, and now you know that you are cheating, but the thing is that I am clinging on to that because of the distrust that, okay, if I donate this much to the temple or this one, then tomorrow I lost the job, what will happen? So I am still clinging on to that because of fear and fear of the, and then the devotee said, I don't know, you are not trusting this one. So now, again, like I am distrust, so how to deal with it?
Just say that a bit slowly for me and think about it. Say it slowly.
Now, let's say you are dovetailing your anarthas to Krishna, like say greed, now you have got some money which you think should now be used in the service of Krishna, but now I am fearful that. What if tomorrow if I lose the job, so I need to keep this much money to sustain my life.
How much money have you got?
A couple of millions probably.
Well, so Prabhupada recommends to follow Rupa and Sanatana Goswami's example, and that we give a percentage of what we earn for preaching the Krishna consciousness. So we're giving in charity. So we recommended not to hold things back, not to hold on to things, but rather to give and have faith that Krishna will look after us, that Krishna will protect us. He's the well-wisher and Bhaktaram, Suridam, Sarvabhutaram. So he's the friend of all. And he'll look after us. So that holding back is purified by giving in charity, and that's the duty of the householder, is to give in charity. That's why I was asking how much money you've got, because it doesn't help you. It's a fairly simple calculation. Whatever you've got, divide it by two. But you also should be practical. You know, devotional service is practical. We should put aside some money for our family and future necessities. Right? It's not that we renounce irresponsibly. So the process of Krishna consciousness is very practical, in that we should be looking after our own requirements, but at the same time, to develop that dependency on Krishna, we're encouraged to give in charity. That's what helps us make advancement.
Okay. Well, you asked a question, actually, I remember an incident. I had a friend of mine. Very intelligent guy, very learned, and learned in the sense of the material circles, and he was a very successful materialist. So we're all going to Tirupati. You know, Tirupati, they put money in the hundi. So he decided to put 500 rupees in the hundi. So we all spoke to each other in the train. He said, I'll put 500 rupees to the Lord. So we came, and by the time we were back into the train, he said, I changed my mind. I put only 100. He said, I'll do five times visit and then put 500. So by the time he reached back home, he lost his wallet. So I told him, Harim Vina. So if you see Hara, he can steal your money. So you did not, you promised something to the Lord and you did not give what you had to give. So then he was very diligent. Once he says, I'll be careful what I promised to the Lord. I just wanted to share that incident. Thank you, everyone. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव गोविंद की जय, जय गौर की।